Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Aleph. And we left off a little bit earlier yesterday, six lines up from the bottom, so that we have to begin on Pei Omid Beis at Resh Lakish. Omer Resh Lakish. Ha'ochel achila gasa b'yom ha'kippurim, patur. If somebody eats in a way that is not going to take any inui away from himself. Because remember, the Isser is not eating. The Isser is being over on removal of inui. So if there is no possibility of inui, the person is full to the brim, then he's not addressing any type of hunger with his eating. So it can't be called eating at all. It would basically just be hurting his body, destroying the food that he's eating, but it doesn't serve any purpose in terms of his nefesh, and therefore he would be potter. My time, asher lo tu'un ektiv. It says in the Torah that the iser is on someone who is not going to put himself into a position of being deprived from food. This is not taking away any deprivation of food, and therefore there's no iser on it. The prat lamazik, all that he's doing is damaging himself and damaging the food. Omrib yirmi omrish lakish. There's also another thing that's true about this. Because even in terms of eating, forget about the fact that it's lo tu'une. That puts Yom HaKippurim in a completely different set of issues, right? But how about we're straight out? The issue in the Torah is eating. So for instance, we have a halacha that a zar that eats truma is chayef to pay that extra chomesh to the Kohen. What about a czar who just damages truma? He doesn't. He just pays for the damage, right? So the only halacha that has to do with the extra knas is achila. What's fascinating is that Reish Lakish wants to take this a step further, which is that if the czar goes through the motions of eating truma when he is eating in a way that is not giving him any benefit, then basically that's not called eating either. So forget about the Yom HaKippurim question. Over here, he's damaging truma through chewing it and swallowing it, but he won't be chayiv for the chomesh because all he's doing is an act of damaging, not an act of eating. Isn't that amazing? So it turns out that the same exact physical act is defined in different ways within the context in which it's done. And therefore, if what he's doing is destroying the truma for all intents and purposes, so it says, dafka ki yochal, the whole halacha is v'ish ki yochal kodesh v'yasav chamishito. But he did not do an act of achila. He did an act of mazik. And that's prat mazik. Omreb Yirmiya, Omreb Yochanan. Zar shekoseis seorim shel truma. How about in a case where somebody who is a zar, he goes ahead and he chews. The Lashon of Koseis is the word that we use whenever we're talking about eating in a way that is not really normal eating. So we call it chewing. Okay, so this guy is going ahead and he's chewing barley, that is truma. Is that considered to be normal achila or not? No. He's mishalim only Karen. He's not mishalim the chomesh because remember the Torah says ish ki yochal truma b'shogah. So this is not achila. This is just mazik because this is something that is not considered normal eating. People do not normally eat this thing, and therefore all that he's doing is damaging. And according to some, he's actually damaging himself. That this is considered to be unhealthy. Omrev shizbi omrev yochan et zar shebalash ezifin shol truma v'yikian. Let's take a case where a non-Kohen goes ahead and he swallows whole plums of truma, or prunes of truma. Rashi uses the word prunes, but the word prunes that in Rashi's language always does not machalik between dried out plums or regular plums. So anyway, it's considered to be normal to swallow small fruit, but here he actually spits them up whole, and then another czar eats the plums that he spit up. The din is like this, that the first person who swallowed those plums is Mishalim Karen V'chomesh, because that is considered to be enough of a derech achila not to be called mazik. But the person who ate them after they were spit up by him is not considered to be eating food, because once someone had swallowed something, even though he spits them up whole, they're no longer considered to be food, and therefore he only pays their value as firewood, so to speak. In other words, whatever they would be worth, but not certainly as a foodstuff. So he's in a mishalim. He's mishalim eitzim l'rishon bilvat. He simply pays the first person who had eaten them, because he was kain of them by swallowing them. So they no longer are considered to belong to the kohen, and they are therefore, now the question is, what would he pay to the second guy? He doesn't pay the second guy the full value of the food either. Now let's get on to the last piece of the Mishnah. So this completes the concept of achila. What is considered to be achila? What type of context is considered to be achila? And what type of foodstuffs are considered to be achila? Now, what's mitzarif to achila, we also spoke about, even though in and of itself it wouldn't be considered to be achila, but it could be mitzarif with oklim for achila. Now we have another question. The next piece of the Mishnah was that even though any type of achila or can be mitzarif for the shir of kotevat agasa, and any type of liquid can be mitzarif to the shir of shtia, but partial achila and partial shtia is definitely not mitzarif. So who is the shita that basically would be the basis of that Mishnah? Omer of Chista, this is actually a machlokas. The machlokas, as we'll see, has to do whether things in general are mitztaref and in what situation they are mitztaref. So let's take the question about two different sources of tuma. Would they be mitztaref to a shear of one of them? So now we have to take into consideration two things. Remember that there are definitions of tuma which have to do with the type of tuma. The type of tuma would fundamentally be nogea. How much tuma is there? Some things are tame for 7 days. Some things are tame only tumas erev. And we're talking about where the initial source of that tuma. So for instance, if tumas meis would be something, it would be metame for 7 days. Tumas sheretz would be metame only tumas erev. Would you able to be mitzarev a tumas sheretz with a tumas meis to get the lesser shear? That would be the question. But another issue that needs to be addressed is the question of what amount of the material that's metame is necessary to be metame. So some things are metame b'kizayis, say kizayis nevela. Some things are metame b'kisaora. Some things are metame b'kaadasha. So a sheretz, let's say, would be metame b'kaadasha. A nevela would be metame b'kizayis. Now, what are the requirements to see the different types of tuma as being one set in terms of tziruf? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Yoshua Shita is, and that would be the makor of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua Shita is as follows in the Mishnah in Me'ila, the Tana. Klau amar Rabbi Yoshua, kol shetumato vishiro shaveh is mitztarif. So something where the type of tuma, in other words, the extent of tuma, whether it's tuma shiva or tuma erev, and also the amount of the material that's metame, if both things are precisely the same, then they can combine. But if not, if it's just, let's say, the same type of tuma, so let's say you have a tame sheretz and a tame nevela. So over there, it's the same type of tuma, but it's not the same shear, because one is b'kadasha and one is b'kizayit. Or suppose the other way around. Suppose you have two things where the shear is the same, but the tuma is not the same. So let's say you have tuma of a tumas meis, where the shear is a kezias, and you have tumas nevela, where the shear is a kezias. But the type of tuma is completely different, because the tumas meis will be metame for shiva, and the tumas nevela will only be metame tumas erev. If either of those things are out of sync, they're not part of the same set, according to Rabbi Yoshua, and therefore ein mitztarfim. So if you hold, like the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Yeshua over there, and they hold that you do not need the same amounts, the same shiur to be mitztarev, you only need the same type. So then you would say, listen, drinking and eating, albeit they have different shiurim and Yom Kippur, but it's basically the same issue that we're talking about. the nefesh asher lo tu'uneh, right? So according to Rabbanan, they ought to be able to be minstarev. So claims the Gemara at this point. Now, I think we'll be able to see a distinction in a moment between them. We can even think of that ourselves. But according to Rabbi Yoshua, since it's not the same shear, there's no tzad to be mitzaref. Reb Nachman says, no. This is not nogea that machlokas at all. Because even if you want to say it's going according to Rabbanan, who defined the set as enough that it's the same type, and it does not have to be the same shear, that would only be true over there, because ad kan lo ka'amri Rabbanan hatam el iyin tum'a. The issue over there was tziruf l'gabei tuma. The shame of tuma, this concept of tuma is one thing, okay? Over here, what we're talking about, by definition, yishuv hada'at, you are going to have to tell me that the idea of eating and the idea of drinking and the way in which they work physiologically and the impact that they have on you psychologically are necessarily the same just because they come out of the same iser? Obviously not. So over here, who's to say that the Rabbanan would argue? Why would we say that the Rabbanan argue? Obviously, if you don't have enough food to be miyashev your das and to feel that you've had something, and you don't have enough drink to feel that you've had something. So because you have a little bit of each, therefore now you feel that you've had something that takes the edge off your hunger, what makes you say so? And therefore, this has absolutely nothing to do with that sugya at all, and therefore there would be no way to be mitzarif the two things, even if they would have had exactly the same shear. V'chein omer Reish Lakish said the way Rav Chisda said, I feel that it's dependent in the machlokas Rabbi Yeshua and the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yeshua is the only one who would say our Mishnah. Indeed, ditnan, because we learn kol shishiurim v'tumasim shav, etc., etc. And Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing over there that Rabbi Shlokish said to Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu teima Rabbanan. Ad kan lo kamri Rabbanan asam ela le'inyan tuma. Ashen kin ocha mishum yitivei daiteyu. Chaim. So over here, since you don't have either of the shiurim to be miyashiv das, what makes you think that you could be mitzarif then? We're ready for our kapitan, if our kapitan is ready for us.
What else?
Now we're moving on to what the chiyuvim are and what the mikor of the chiyuvim are, because there's something very strange going on when it comes to Yom Kippur. The Torah never says, do not eat. It just says, nefesh asher lo tu'uneh, but I understand, but where does it say not to eat? Remember, you cannot give an onesh unless you've said somewhere that there's a lotase. Well, believe it or not, it never says anywhere in the Torah, don't eat on Yom Kippur. So there's something very fundamentally wrong here. And therefore, we need to look into what exactly the nature of the lav is, where it comes from, and remember that if you don't have that lav, forget about the question of not having malchus. You don't have a mocker for a korban chatas either, because we learn out the korban chatas that has to be only a dover that's a lav that you're chayav lo karis. So if that's the case, where do we even get the idea of chatas? Then there's another question, and that other question has to do with the fundamental way in which we look at the Isurim of Yom Kippur. Remember that we ended up with a very strange situation. The fact that it said Shabbat Shabbaton connected to v'initem et nafshotechem, we understood that the shvita of Yom HaKippurim, the etzem shvita of Yom HaKippurim, included the inuyim. That's a very strange thing. We used to think that shvita is a concept of menucha, right? And okay, so on Shabbat, you're supposed to have menucha. You're supposed to even feel this sense of hands off of the world. To extend that idea into the inui of Yom Kippur leads to a very amazing way that the Rambam talks about the entire din of Yom Kippur. It's called Shvitat Asor, the Shvita that has chal on the 10th day of the month. And that Shvita includes the Shvita from eating. So what that ought to mean is that there's a relationship between those two chiyuvim, not doing halacha, which is our standard set of the idea of Shabbaton, of Shvita, Shvot, and then this new idea of applying the relationship of Shabbat Shabbaton to V'initem et nafshotechem. All of these are going to be the issues that we will explore l'maisa in this upcoming sugya. But as usual, the way that the Gemara will take it and the way that Rebbe presented it in the Mishnah is in very clear-cut, strict issues of what exactly are the chiyuvim, what exactly are the ways in which you become mikhayev a chatas, and what would one chatas cover? Would it cover both these surim that are part of the shvisa? Meanwhile, of course, in order to understand those things, we're going to have to penetrate into the makor of the isurim. Now, because of that, I also gave you in advance in the daf WhatsApp the psukim that it's necessary to understand. That's not all the psukim. There's going to be more psukim, we'll see. But those psukim are the basis in Emor, the basis of the main brisa that we have in Taras Kayanim that describes the interrelationships between various issues, some of which we haven't even met yet. And that's the question of the extensions of Yom HaKippurim into before Yom Kippur and after Yom Kippur. And that's called Tosefet of Yom HaKippurim. What is the status of that? Where does it come from? Is it a lotasa, etc.? And the other is the interrelationship of the ninth day of Tishrei to the tenth day of Tishrei, because strangely enough, the Torah talks about the Tishi B'Chodesh, and we need to understand what in the world? I thought Yom Kippur was on the 10th. So all of that is there. If you want to open up your Chumashim, obviously that's the best place to look, is in Vayikra Chof Gimel. And we'll take a look. I sent it out to you. So, okay. So now let's take the Mishnah. Remember that the shir of echatas is always defined by when did you find out about what you did wrong. So suppose a person ate, he never found out it was Yom Kippur. He drank, never found out it was Yom Kippur. And or he knew it was Yom Kippur, but he never found out that achila v'shtia is aser. So then the idea is that he would be chayev only one chatas. Why? Because even though these were separate acts, but they were separate acts of one iser. And since there was no yediyah between them, remember, without a yediyah between them, you only bring one chatas to cover it, and therefore ainu chayev ala chatat echad. But what about if he ate and he did melacha? Oh, so then he would be chayev two separate chataot, because these are two completely different isurim in the Torah. That the, as we'll see, which psukim we're going to darshan, but it says in both things, it mentions the idea of a chiyev kores. Ki kol ha-nefesh asher lo tu'une be'etzem ayom hazeh. This is in the posik chof tet that I sent to you from perek chof gimel in Emor. Kol ha-nefesh asher lo tu'une be'etzem ayom hazeh v'nichrata mi'ameha. And then the next pasuk says, "Kol ha-nefesh asher ta'aseh kol melacha be'etzem ha-yom hazeh ve'havati et ha-nefesh u'mikerav ha-ma." So that means we have two separate psukim defining the chiyuv of kores on two completely different issues, one on the inui and one on the asiyas melacha. So therefore, since we have two separate mekoros for kores in the Torah, we're going to have to ask, okay, that's all very nice, that we have two separate mekorot for the korot, but where do we have two separate makorot for the actual do not do, which is called the azara? We need to find the azara. Okay, but in any event, clearly the Torah is mechalik between the korot on asiyas melacha and the korot on the lo tuune. Now, how about if somebody ate ochlim she'inan ru'uyin le'achila, or shata mashkin she'inan ru'uyin le'shtiya, or shata tsir or murias? In all of these cases, he would be putter from a korban chatas. So if the foods that he ate are not considered to be real food, so whatever, they were extremely bitter, they were spoiled or whatever, or he drank things that were also spoiled, or they're not things that you would normally drink, maybe vinegar, we're going to see whether that's considered to be a drink, or even in a case where he drank something that would normally have been had together with a vegetable that he would have dipped in it, but he never would have had a drink of pure fish brine, you know, or these mixed fish fat with brine. For that, he would be putter, even though it might be cases where you would be able to consume them, but you don't consume them as they are. So that's not considered to be a violation of the Isra Achila. Omar Resh Lakish, I don't get it. Why doesn't the Torah tell us not to eat on Yom Kippur or not to do things that are violations of Inui? I mean, it never says it anywhere. It keeps talking about it in the positive sense, you know? I understand that that means don't eat, but it's a mitzvah saseh. It's not a mitzvah lotaseh. That makes all the difference in the world in terms of chiyuvim, both of malchus, kores, misa, or which is not nogeah here, but in general, you can't give any of those things and in terms of your korban chatas. So why doesn't it say openly that there's an iser lav? Well, says Reish Lakish, it's because there's no way to do that. Tell me what it should say. You can't expect the Torah to give a love where there's no possible way to express that love. Because consider, what are you going to say? What should you say? Don't eat? I mean, it's not true. Don't eat would mean do not consume a kezayit, okay? And that's not true. But eating a kezayit would not be the isser of violating Yom Kippur. It would have to be kikotevet hagazah, as we saw. So what should it say? Lo tu'ne would mean go ahead and eat. Make sure that you eat. So, I mean, obviously you can't say that. So how's it going to expect it? I mean, express it. It's going to be mashma if you say lo tu'ne. That puts the word, remember, this sounds ridiculous on the surface, Rabbi Yisai, but technically speaking, it's not ridiculous. Because what we're looking for is the language of lo. And we're talking to Talmidei Chachamim, so to speak. In other words, the Torah is giving us the mitzvahs in a way that is going to be understood by the Chachamim. So when you tell me those combinations of words, lo to une, so it's telling me, I'm telling you a lo ta'aseh about inui. That's how we would interpret it. It's the same thing when we say vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor. Lemor means lo emor. Don't say over something unless you're told to say it over to somebody else, so to speak. Now, albeit that's obviously a Haggadic type of drasha, it's not mamish b'chayiv yon alav, but nonetheless it means that it makes sense at least to say that word, lo tu'une. So therefore, the reason that we can't say that is because mipchinat hapshat, that would mean make sure that you are not ma'aneh yourself on Yom Kippur. That would mean get up and eat, right? Kum echol. Says Rav Hoshaya, well, what is that supposed to mean? You can't figure out a way in which you could use the language of a lo ta'aseh. Remember, wherever it says yishamer, wherever it says pen, wherever it says lo, all of those things are lashon lav, right? So I get it. You can't say lo tuneh, but you could say yishamer pen lo tuneh. So then that would be telling me a lot. Take careful care. Make sure that you are not in a position of not being ma'aneh yourself. That's good. Says the Gemara, yeah, problem is, it's too good. Because if you would say that, it would be more than one lav. Because Yishamer is a lav by itself, Pen is a lav by itself, so Imke Nefishalu lav, you can't do that. Matkif la revive barabaye. Why can't you just say, Yishamer b'mitzvat inui? No, because Yishamer b'mitzvat inui would be telling me about be very careful to do something positive. So then it would just be an extension of an asay, because it's Gufa Reish Lakish who said this approach, and Reish Lakish holds that Hishamer of a lav is a lav, but Hishamer of an asay is an asay. So if the Torah says, let's say, Hishamer b'nega hatzaras, which is the other thing that we're learning later, right? So Hishamer b'nega hatzaras tells me what not to do. Do not take off the simen or the nega from your skin. So this would be a challenge to dermatologists, but we won't say anything. Dr. Barry is looking concerned. So Hishamer b'nega hatzaras means be careful what you take off of that skin, right? Okay, so then if that's the case, it would be a lav. But if you say Hishamer in the mitzvah of Inui, it would, you're right, it would mean don't eat, but it would mean don't eat as an asay. Remember, we have a lo taseh abah michlal asay, but that still has a din of an asay, not as a lo taseh. I'm looking for a lo taseh, that would not be one, okay? Matkif lo Rav Ashi. I mean, couldn't you write something like, al tasur minayinui, don't turn aside from being in pain. No. Okay, fine, Kasha. I'm sure you can come up with a good answer to that one, too, you know? But we'll leave it hanging. Basically, I think Reish Lakish has made his point very well. It's extremely awkward to come up with a language that the Torah would normally use and that would mean precisely the lotas of inui, because the concept of inui is difficult to put into a lotas. That's the whole point that Reish Lakish is making. So, okay. Where, in fact, though, is the Yisr? So, I mean, I understand that the Torah has got a problem, okay? But the Maisa, is there a Lotas? Is there no Lotas? I mean, you're talking about Korban Chatas. Where is it from? So the Tana, Maitele Mihach. Basically, the Braita explains everything. Now, in order to understand what the Gemara is about to do, it's going to take up the Braita smack bang in the middle of the Braita, which is a little bit confusing if you don't have the background of this Braita. And that's why I sent you all of those psukim. And now what the Braita really does with these psukim is something very beautiful, because obviously Pasuk Chof Chet. Okay, Pasuk Chof Chet is about the iser beferish alav kol melacha lo ta'asu be'etzem hayom hazeh. That's a classic lav. Okay, so now I know that there's a lav about asiyas melacha, right? And then I also know that we darshan in that brisa. This is the order that the brisa goes. I also know that the next pasuk is that there's a din of chorus on inui. Ki kol ha'nefesh asher lo tu'une be'etzem hayom hazeh. Yes, okay. Now, I know from Pasuk Chof Zayin that Ach ba'asor l'chodesh ha'shvi azeh yom ha'kippurim v'initem et nafshotechem. Now, that is what is basically that you need to be an inui, but it's not the lotas. Now, we come along, and the next thing that we look at in the Braita is Shabbat Shabbatoni lachem v'initem et nafshotechem. And listen carefully, because we're going to come back to this. From the ninth of the month in the evening. So from there we learn that you have to be in a state of inui still before Yom Kippur. For a little bit of the ninth of the month. We're going to get into the drush, or where we get it's only a little bit. Maybe it's the whole thing. Fine. But from the ninth of the month, there's going to be an extension from one evening, in other words, as you're transitioning into Yom Kippur, ad erev, as you're transitioning out of Yom Kippur, there's going to be a concept of the extension, which is called the Tosefet of Yom HaKippur. Fine. That we learn from Pasuk Lamed Beis. Fair enough. Then we go on, and we learn what it is that the relationship is of this, all of these dinim, the lavim and the extensions, binogea, two different issues, the asiyas melacha and the inui. So here's where we got up to. Continues the braita like this. So now, when it says, v'initem et nafshotechem, v'chol melacha lo ta'asu. Let me ask you something. We just proved to you that there's a din of Tosefet Yom HaKippurim. Would you be chayev kores on the extra time? So suppose somebody does malacha or eats. Would you be chayev kores on doing malacha on that little bit of extra time, Erev Yom Kippur, or on the extension of Yom Kippur, post Yom Kippur, or not? Ah, the Torah makes that very clear, doesn't it? Look how beautifully it makes it clear. V'chol ha'nefesh asher ta'aseh kol melacha be'etzem hayom hazeh. Now, this is something unique to Yom HaKippurim, that there's this concept of atzmo shel yom. So where is the chiyav of karet, v'nichrita, ha'nefesh ha'i? Only be'etzem hayom hazeh. obviously, extensions are not the etzem. By definition, that's the difference between an extension and an etzem. So the Tosefet may be usher, but it's not a chi of karas. Al itzu mosho yom anush karet, veino anush karet, al Tosefet milacha. And remember, gentlemen, that the idea of itzu mosho yom is a concept that is not only a halachic concept in terms of the dinim that distinguish between the chi of kares. The halacha of itzumo shel yom is that the itzumo of Yom HaKippurim is an actual kapara. And therefore, when we learn out that this is Yom Kippurim Hu, it means that the day has an atzmiut. It's not a time for something that happens during this time. It is a day that has an identity in and of what we call it as a day. That is much different than having something, halachas, that happen to be defined to be done along this time in the universe, which we call a day in terms of the revolution of the earth. That's not the point. So this is the beginning of that concept, as we'll see. So the only onush karas is on that itzumo shel Yom HaKippurim. Okay, that's in terms of asiyas malacha. What about in terms of eating? Would there be an iser karas al tosefet inui? You only proved to me that there's no tosefet in terms of asiyat malacha. What about in terms of the tosefet inui? So maybe yehe onush karet al tosefet inui. Talmud Lomar, once again, we now have another pasuk that states, in the Isra of Inui, and this is in pasuk Choftet, ki chol ha-nefesh asher lo te'uneh be'etzem ha-yom hazeh v'nichrata. Once again, we stress be'etzem. So that means be'etzem, it occurs twice. Once in terms of asiyat melacha, once in terms of the dinim of Inui. Al itzumo shel yom anush karet ve'eino anush karet al tosefet inui. So that means that the day is defined as unique etzem that has its own identity in two spheres. One, actually, we'll see in three spheres. One in terms of the iser inui. One in terms of the iser of asiyat melacha. And later we'll see one in terms of the concept of where the kapara comes from as the itzumo shel yom and which part of the yom and so on and so forth. Yochol lo ye muzhar al tosefet. So therefore, where we're up to, that only his muzhar al itzumo. Now, you might think that lo ye muzhar al tosefet milacha av ye muzhar al tosefet inui. So you might have thought that, okay, we proved that the iser of lo ta'aseh melacha be'etzem hayom hazeh. I understand that when it comes to the melacha, you define the actual iser as an iser of be'etzem hayom hazeh. But you never defined the iser in terms of the etzem hayom hazeh legabe inui, because darn it, you never defined an iser. Which, of course, is going to be the next problem. Hey, hold on a minute. Something's funny. Okay, so the moment that we ask this question, we've already opened up that Pandora's box. Yeah, you know, you're right. It never says bichlal not to eat. So what do you mean, yokolo ye muzar? That will be our very next question. But you might think that there would still, wherever that azara comes from, maybe it would be an azara even on the Tosefet, right? No, because the idea over here would be that even when it comes to the a question of the inui, so it's dafka the same because of a kal v'chomer, v'dinu. If I just showed you that melacha is only an iser melacha be'etzem ayom hazeh, that's b'chayev you karet, okay? So then for sure that's got to be true about the chi of kares on the inui. Why? Because it's a dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. If melacha is a universal concept. Every time we have this idea of any of the yomim that have a din of shvisa, Shabbos, Yontev, I mean, they're always aser b'melacha. So that is something that we're used to, and it's universal. So if even melacha, which is so broad that it's noheget b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim, and nonetheless the tosefet that we learned out of mi'erev ad erev, is not considered to be an Isser Lav, like we just showed before, only be'etzem hayom hazeh, that anybody who's oseh melacha, v'chol melacha lo tasu be'etzem ayom hazeh, which means even the iser melacha be'etzem ayom hazeh, inui is like this new concept. It's not noeg on Shabbat. It's not noeg on Yomim Tovim. So for sure, it's not going to be more chomor than the universal iser of asiyas melacha, right? So eno din shelo yeh muzar alav. But says the Gemara, but but now that you mention it, you haven't even showed me that it's usher. I now realize that. It's all very nice that you're telling me why there's no din of an iser lav on the Tosefet, because I learned that out of the no iser lav on the Tosefet of Malacha, but you haven't told me that there's an iser lav even on the actual day. Azaralino sheyom atzmo. Lolamatnu minayin. What is the mocker of an iser lav on eating on Yom Kippur? Here we're all the way at the end of the Masechet, and we still haven't found out that what the iser lav is about Yom Kippur. That's quite amazing. Minayin. Ah, okay. That I'll show you. That's a little bit complex. Now look, basically, from everything that we just learned, all right, I could ask you like this. Let the Torah not bother mentioning the onesh of karet b'melacha. Don't say that anybody who does melacha is chayav karet, because I could learn the fact that there's a chayav karet from the kal v'chomer that we just made. I would learn it out of the dinim of inui. I would say like this. If even inui, ma inui she'eno noeg b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim, onush karet, so melacha she'noeget b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim, lo kol sheken. So it's obvious that if the Torah is giving us one concept of a Shabbaton from melacha, and a Shabbaton from inui, so then, of course, if it talks about the onesh kares, it's for sure going to apply that onesh kares to the most normative aspect of a yom of kedusha, which is the not asiyas melacha. Why bother mentioning it if you're already telling me that even this new weird idea of inui is going to make mechayev you a chiyev of kares? So lama ne'emar, why then do I need to mention it at all? I'll tell you why. We need it to be left extra, because we need to make a gzera shava, and in order to make a binding gzera shava that can withstand even the questions that we can ask on it, it needs to be mufne. And therefore, we're leaving it free. It's an extra pasuk that the Torah learned in order la'akish to compare it to Yom Kippur in through a gezera shava, and to learn a gezera shava, basically, that not that the reason that it says koras for atzias melacha is because I need to tell you that. You know that because you learned that already from the dinim of koras be'inui. But it's rather to make the gezera shava between the two dinim, and to say like this, ne'emar onesh be'inui, v'ne'emar onesh b'melacha, unnecessarily. So there is the same idea. It may not be exactly the same words to make a gzera shava, but remember that Rabbi Yishmol, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmol taught us that Zohi Shiva, Zohi Biyah, which we learn out of Hilchas Negayim, of course, where else? So anyway, that means that we have a gzera shava to tell me, just like melacha. The onesh that was mentioned in terms of the melacha is an onesh that goes hand in hand with the azhara. It says beferish lo tasu melacha ki chol nefer, and so on, v'nichrita. Okay, so then that means inui, even though it didn't tell us, don't do it, but nonetheless, when it says kol nefesh asher lo tu'uneh, it's talking about an azhara. Where is that azhara? In the Gzera Shava. The Azara is the same Azara that comes from Asiyas Melacha, which we're now going to say means that there must be an equivalent Azara when it comes to the Dinim of Inui. And just like Melacha lo anash, ela imkeniz here, af Inui lo anash, ela imkeniz here. Now, wait a minute. But your original extra pasuk is based on a mistake. You said it's a kal v'chomer. What do you need to tell me that there's an iser melacha? It's a kal v'chomer that there's an that there's a chiyav karas on melacha. It's a kal v'chomer if there's a chiyav on inui. That's not true, because I could tell you exactly what I told you before. Ikala mifrach, that this kal v'chomer is not a good kal v'chomer because inui is different. There is nothing that is matir inui on Yom Kippur, but there is an awful lot that's matir melacha on Yom Kippur. every single korban that you have to do today is going to be mechalo Yom HaKippurim in multiple ways. So if melacha is not mentioned for its chayiv koras, and you would try to tell me, well, if inui is chayiv kol shekein melacha, not necessarily. Obviously, the Torah is more makbid on inui than it is in melacha. So you can't make that kal vachomer, so forget about it. I don't have a gezeirah shavah. Please start over. Okay, fine. I'll start over. Let the Torah not mention the onesh for inui, because I would have learned the onesh from inui from melacha, vice versa, from what we said before. I would say basically what you just said. If melacha, which is not that chomer, because you're allowed to do melacha for kegdesh on Yom HaKippurim, nonetheless, it's onush karet, inui, where there's never any opening at all to be over on inui on Yom Kippur, and it was not huter michlala, so lo kol shekein that it's going to be an iser kares. Why then was it necessary to say the iser kares on inui? I take it all back what I said before. Before I said, why do I need to say the iser the chiyav of kares on melacha? Now I'm saying, okay, no, melacha is a given, but now I can make a kav chomer on the inui. So now why did I have to say it? That's how it's mufna. Now it's mufna in order to make the gzera shava, and I'll make the same gzera shava. It says inui, and it says an onesh, and it says an onesh by malacha. Now, isn't it true that it also says a lav by malacha? So then it must be af inui, there must be a lav. So onesh, vi is here, and now the gzera shava is the lav. Ikala Mifrach, obviously, I can now ask you the same thing that I used before as the basis of the Gzera Shava that didn't work, of the Kavachomer that didn't work. I could say, Malacha, you can't say that Malacha is more Kal because it's Utter. Malacha is more Chomer because it's Noheget B'Shabbatot V'Yomim Tovim. Mashen Kein Inui is not Noheg B'Shabbatot V'Yomim Tovim. So forget about it, okay? You're not going to come up with a Mufna, thank you. Let's take a new approach. Om Ravina, okay. Listen, you have to understand. Obviously, the Tana's not playing games. I mean, to go back and forth just to drive us crazy. Basically, what we're relying on is a much more fundamental Gezeirah Shavah, which is that in both cases, by the case of Inui and by the case of Melacha, it says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. And that Be'etzem is the true basis of the interrelationship of the two aspects of the idea of Yom HaKippurim being a day of Isser, namely Azara, and Chiyav Kares in two very different issues. Yeah, but wait a minute. You said that you needed to have it Mufna. How is it Mufna? I mean, it better be Mufna, because if it's not Mufna, then we have all of the questions that we asked before. I mean, I can show you that you can't really make a comparison between Asiyas Melacha and Inui, and I showed it to you in two ways, both in terms of the universality and in terms of the way in which it's not Huter Michlala. So don't give me this. How is Etzem Mufna? Oh, yes, it is. Now, here's the secret. Lai, Afnuya Mufna. I've been keeping this in reserve, you see. And in reserve, here's how it goes. If you really want to know what's going on in Yom Kippur, you've got to expand your vision a little bit to include more than Emor. I mean, we've been Emoring it up today with this Brisa and pretending that everything you got to know is mentioned in these Psukim in Emor. Now, there's a lot here, but it's not everything. Because remember, there are five separate Psukim that tell you not to do Melacha on Yom Kippur. Let's go back, first of all, and start in Achrimot. Vaitalachem l'chukat olam. Bachodesh Hashavi, Basor Lachodesh, Tanud Nafshotechem, and Chol Melacha Lo Tasu. A. Next, Emor. Chol Melacha Lo Tasu Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Next, Emor. Again. Chol Melacha Lo Tasu. Next, Pinchas. Ubeasor Lachodesh Hashvi Hazeh Mikra Kodesh Vinitem Et Nafshotechem. Chol Melacha Lo Tasu. Okay. Five separate psukim. You know what these psukim are for? Okay. One comes to tell me that there is an Isser of Melacha during the day of Yom Kippur, because remember that good old Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh? So maybe it's Dafka, the Yom HaZeh. So one is to tell me, okay, the Yom has an Isser of Melacha, but does the day have an Isser of Melacha? That is to say, the period of time of 24 hours, which includes the night, that's just an old-fashioned Yom. Here we're talking about an Etzem Yom. So does the night also have an Isser? Yep. Chadlazara's Laila. Then we need to tell me that we've got an onesh of, that's that the Azara. Then we need to know there's an onesh of Kores for doing work. Maybe that's only in the day, right? I mean, what about that old-fashioned concept of 24 hours and Earth's revolutions and stuff like that? I mean, would there even be an onesh for doing that kind of work at night? Yep, we need another pasuk. Okay, but what's the fifth pasuk for? The fifth pasuk is to have an extra pasuk to tell you that you can make gzeira shava. That's the whole point. So if chadlaf nuye, to tell me that you have a right to learn out the inui out of malacha, whether it's biyom or belayla, and there you go. So I was keeping this in reserve. I knew you were going to push me into the corner. Now I've given you my last shot over here. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, there's a whole other approach which takes another way of learning the iser. Nemar kan inui. Look, it says by Yom Kippur the lashon of inui again and again and again. But it also uses the lashon of inui when it talks about somebody who rapes a naara bitula. So it says over there, al dvar asher ina et eshet re'ehu. Uses the same word. So just like over there, by the din of that rape of a naara murasa, the onesh was preceded by the general azara. The Torah tells us, al eshet amitcha, lo titen shechavtecha, and in the Luchas it says, lo tinaf. There's no question that sleeping with a married woman is definitely, and we have two psukim, and it doesn't matter if she's nisuar, she's just a mikudeshet, it's giving you a lav, which then is translated into the onesh over here, that you're chai of misa. Okay, same thing would be true over here. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I have a different basis. I say that when the Torah says Shabbat Shabbaton, it's comparing Yom Kippur to Shabbos, right? So the same way it says Shabbat Shabbaton by Shabbos Bereishis, it says Shabbat Shabbaton by Yom HaKippurim, and it uses exactly the same language. So therefore, by Yom HaShvi'i, Shabbat Shabbaton, Kodesh LaHashem, and by Yom Kippur, Shabbat Shabbaton, Hilachem, Vinitem et Nafshotechem. Go straight to Shabbos. So just like by Shabbos, lo anash ela im kein he's here, many times, so to Afkan, lo anash ela im kein he's here, and everything is perfect. Rav Papa has another suggestion. Rav Papa says, why are we running around comparing Yom Kippur to Shabbos if the Torah calls it Shabbos? Igufi Shabbat ikre. It says, beferish tishbetu Shabbatchem. So basically, by saying at the end, Tishbetu Shabbatchem, forget about Shabbaton, I understand. Shabbat Shabbaton Ilachem, that I need, like I learned earlier, that I need to tell me the din of the relationship of all of the Inuyim, that there's a concept of Shabbaton to Inuyim, and then we understood that that includes, let's say, Nina Satsandal and so on. Or maybe over there, Shabbat Shabbaton Ilachem is referring to the actual Menucha is a Shabbat Shabbaton. But then it says Tishbetu et Shabbatchem. So that means it's calling it a Shabbos in and of itself. It's not because of the common language. Why are we looking for common language if we can see that the Torah insists that Yom Kippur is Shabbos? Don't bring me common languages. So it's very clear. Hey, you know, that's a very good point. I mean, Rav Papa would never want to say what Rav Acha bar Yaakov says. Let's use the common language to mean that Yom Kippur is Shabbos. I mean, if it says it in a pasuk, why would I want to do that? Because he holds the Krah D'Chtiva Gufei Odif. Obviously, it's more valuable to find a direct pasuk about Yom Kippur than to start analyzing Gzeira Shabbos. But why did Rav Acha bar Yaakov not want to rely on Rav Papa's pasuk of Tishbetu et Shabbatchem? Ah, because you see, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that the pasuk of Tishbetu Shabbatchem is coming to teach me a very important halacha, not this. Miboyle lekidatanya. That, he says, remember the bright of the darshan. V'initem et nafshotechem betish ala chodesh. Okay, so if you just read those words, you might think that you have to start fasting at the beginning of the ninth day, and that it's a two-day fast. Talmud lomar ba'erev. No, only in the evening. Okay, so maybe Be'erev means at the beginning of the next day. And therefore, there's no Tosefet. So, Iba Erev, Yochol Mishetech Shach, no. Then why would I say Betisha? I could just say on the 10th of the month. So obviously, it's got to include some of the Tisha. Okay, Tzad. Matchilo Mitanem Iba Od Yom. We have no choice. We have to start fasting while it's still the 9th. And from there, we learn Mikanshe Mosivim Michol Al HaKodesh. Now, maybe that only means at the beginning. How do we know even at the end? B'Yitziyato Minayin. Talmud Lomar, May Erev Ad Erev, from one evening to the next. That means there's a Tosefet on both ends. Now, here's the crucial point for what he's going to use that pasuk for, Tishpatu Shabbatchem. In the Yelo Yom HaKippurim. How do I know that on Shabbos, there's also a Tosefet on Shabbos, you have to start Shabbat a little bit earlier. Minayin, Talmud Lomar Tishpitu. And how do I know that that's true even on Yontev, not on Shabbos? Yomim Tovim Minayin, Talmud Lomar, Tishpetu Shabbatchem, any of your Shabbatot, which teaches us, Kol Makom Shenema Shvut, wherever the Torah tells you, do not do any melacha, Mosifim Michol Al HaKodesh. That's what I use the pasuk for. Therefore, I don't have it available to teach me about the Din of Yom Kippur proper. And because of that, I come on to the Shabbat Shabbaton as Gzera Shava. Now, you said before, it says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, right? And he learns Etzem to teach me this very important halacha that you said, and that we have this Gezerah Shava, and that it's only, there's no chorus, not on the Malacha, unless it's on the Etzem, and there's no chorus, not on the Inui, unless it's on the Etzem. But if the Adin is Betisha Lachodesh, then what in the world is he according to tell me? If you tell me that Be'etzem means that you're only Chayev on the Etzem and not on the, go ahead, finish the words, and not on the Tosefet. Tosefet? Which Tosefet? Who ever heard of a Tosefet? Oh, gosh. The Torah must be teaching us that there's a Tosefet. Thank you. So if the Torah is telling me that there needs to be a Tosefet, so then what in the world do we do with this whole drasha? Then I don't need the drasha about Betisha B'chodesh, because already from the words Be'etzem, I understand there must be a Tosefet that now we're coming to tell me, but don't think that on that Tosefet that you're Chayiv Karas. No, only Be'etzem, you see. So that means that this whole drasha doesn't make any sense. There is no Tosefet, unless there is. Okay, so now I know that there is. So what does he do with this pasuk of Betisha B'chodesh? Mayavitla, he doesn't need it. Ah, he learns another beautiful drasha from that pasuk. That pasuk is comparing the 9th of the month to the 10th of the month. And that is that famous drasha. The Tani Chiya Barav Midifti, V'ini Temet Nafshotechem B'tish'a B'chodesh. What? V'chi B'tish'a Mitanim? Is there a tainus on the 9th of Tishrei? V'halo Ba'asor Mitanim? Why is the Torah using the word the 9th? Because it's coming to teach you an amazing thing, that all of your preparations and all of your celebrations of the fast that is to come, the Ketz Mechila V'Slicha of the Etzem Hayom Hazeh, is considered to be part of your keeping Yom Kippur. So obviously you can't both eat and drink and be Mekayim Inui in the same day. Okay, so that's basically the Sora Mishtaleach. So part of that is, part of Yom Kippur is on the 9th, and part of Yom Kippur is on the 10th, to allow you to do both. And therefore, it teaches us the most remarkable thing, that if you eat and drink on the 9th, then that is keeping Yom Kippur for 2 days. And ma'ale alav ha-katuv ki'ilu hita'ana tishi'i ve'asiri, because it has this multiple face, which, since you're just human and stuck with being dimensionally challenged, you have to split up into your time concepts. But basically, this is Yom Kippur. The eating and happy Yom Kippur, Echol b'simcha lachmecha, ki kvar ratza Elohim et ma'asecha, and on the other hand, kol ha'nefesh asher lo teuneh. Okay? This, of course, is a very profound nature of Yom HaKippurim as well, remember, because the idea, not only of its split personality, which is fundamental, is expressed in the idea of Inui. Inui doesn't mean not to eat. Inui means missing eating. A completely different idea. So that means that the eating has to be part of the Yom HaKippurim. not the not eating. Yeah, it's like talking to a bunch of, I don't know, maybe seals. You know, I got this beautiful video yesterday about this guy who was getting frustrated during COVID. You know, he's this international pianist. So he brings his piano into the zoo in Cologne, right? And he starts playing for the animals. Oh my gosh, you should see the response of these animals. Some of them start dancing. The sea lions actually clap at the end of the performance. It's an amazing thing to see. Yeah, so this guy can go to the zoo and he can get like a reaction from the animals. Put that in your pipe. I don't want to spill out the implications. Okay. Yeah.
Ancient Greek, which retains Lashon HaKodesh or expresses its kosher Sefer Torah, the verb for going is the exact verb for coming. Erechomai is both. You have to look at the context. So it's mamish, v'shav, uba, it's the same verb. Isn't that beautiful?
That is stunning.